is greater than. And that logo, put that logo back up there. That logo, the idea, you've seen that he is greater than I, I'm sure, on t-shirts and all that. We got the idea from that. Love is greater than, and that's just whatever mess we can make, whatever mess we find ourselves. That's what that is right there. Love is greater than all. Love is the greatest thing, right? It's so important. Love is greater than our past mistakes and failures. Now, everybody has things that they've messed up on. We're all human beings. Nobody bats 1,000. Nobody gets a hole-in-one on every shot or gets a home run on every shot, right? And sometimes some things can be worse than others and have worse repercussions than others, right? Many years ago, I was right out of Bible school. I finished Bible school in 81. I think I went on this trip in January of 82. One of my very first missions overseas trips was to the Dominican Republic, a two-week trip. I'm a young guy. I began to pastor in 83. I wasn't even a pastor yet, but I was training for that and moving in that direction. But some guys I'd met in Bible school invited me to go with them to the Dominican Republic. And so these guys are all from the East Coast, like North Carolina or something like that, South Carolina. I'm the only guy from the West Coast, but because I knew a little bit of Spanish, not very fluent, but I knew more than them, they wanted me to come with them. And so I'm there for 2 weeks. And so I'm rooming with this other guy, other young guy like me. He's been to the same Bible school I've been at. And this guy was just a great Bible teacher, a great minister. And I'm thinking, man, this guy, I mean, he must have grown up in church. He knows the word. I did it. I wish I'd grown up like him, you know. And man, this guy knows all the scriptures. He preaches so well. He's really, really good. And so him and I were teamed together in different churches, and we used translators to teach, you know, because they speak Spanish down there, and mine just wasn't very good. So this one night we're in Santo Domingo, and we finished the service. It's been almost 2 weeks we've been together every single day. I'm knowing this guy pretty well. And so we walked down to this little store because we're waiting for the van to come pick us up and to go get a Coca-Cola. And I've been everywhere I've ever been. I've been to, you know, the Dominican and Peru and Guatemala and Panama, you name it. Anywhere you go, there's Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola rules the world, okay? It's everywhere you can go, all right? And so anyway, so we go to get one. And so there's this, like, three or four of these young guys are hanging out in front of this store. So we decided to try to witness to these guys and share our faith with them. And so our interpreter was gone. So it's up to me to try to translate into Spanish. And mine's not very good. Now, I'm pretty good in restaurants with Spanish, all right? No, so if you want to eat, kind of hang out with me. But like all those, you know, so I'm doing my best trying to speak in Spanish. And so this guy's name is Ken. So I'm thinking, well, this guy, you know, he's starting to tell his story. I'm trying to translate it into Spanish. These guys are paying attention. And then all of a sudden he goes on. He goes, now, you know, I used to be a heroin addict. And he pulls his sleeve up and you can see these track marks in his arm. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And so now my Spanish is getting all messed up, worse than it already was, right? And then he says, in fact, I was so bad. I hated myself so much. I hated my life so much. I shot myself. And he pulled his shirt up. I tried to commit suicide. I shot myself. He pulls up his shirt, and there's a bullet hole in his chest. And you can see where it went in. He turned around, and you can see where it went right through an exit wound. And at that moment, my jaw hit the floor. And I forgot I even knew Spanish. And I forgot about those four guys. And I said, you have got to be kidding me. You're kidding me. Talk about old things passed away, all things have become new. And he says, but Jesus changed me. Jesus saved me. I shot myself in my room. My mother came running in, but she was a prayer warrior. And I was laying there bleeding to death, and she literally prayed me out of death. And God saved me, and here I am now in the ministry. That was many years ago. And I sat there absolutely stunned. And you know me, it's not very often I'm speechless. But I was absolutely speechless. Because looking at this guy, you would have never known he had any kind of a history like that. You would have never known his life was ever like that. I thought he'd grown up in church and was kind of lucky to have grown up in church, and I didn't. I wish I had, kind of like that. And then he said this. I'm telling all of that to tell you this right here. He goes, you know what? He goes, this Ken was never a heroin addict. This Ken never tried suicide. This Ken never shot himself. That was the old Ken. That guy died, and this new one now has been raised to life in Jesus. I'm a new man in Christ, and this Ken has never been an addict. This Ken has never tried suicide. This Ken, and I sat there, and I'm telling you, here I am speaking in these meetings down there, and right then I learned the greatest lesson I've learned maybe in my entire life. that it really is true that Jesus moves us from death unto life, that literally we are born again by the Spirit of God. It's not getting a new philosophy. It's not turning over a new leaf. It is literally we pass from death unto life. Notice, please, here we're going to begin in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to skip ahead on the outline. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. I'm here to tell you this verse we're going to read right now, 2 Corinthians 5. We're reading from the New Living Translation. Now, I learned this in the old King James with the old these and thous. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things are become new. We're going to put it up right now in the New Living Translation, which is a more modern, you know, version of today's English. It's saying the same thing. We must know this if we're going to put the past in the past. Look at the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, New Living Translation. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. Not when we get to heaven. It doesn't say the old life will one day be gone. It says it is gone. That happens the moment you say yes to Jesus. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Not when we get to heaven one day. It's a done deal. So whether or not you know this, this has already happened to you if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior. You already are a new person. Now, you may not think like one, you may not act like one, but you is one, all right? So we have to change our thinking about ourselves. We have to change the way we see ourselves and line up with the way God already sees us. And my friend Ken had a greater understanding of this verse than anybody I knew at that time in my life. I stood there, I'm telling you, it hit me. It was a revelation to me. The lights went off, sirens buzzed, you name it, whatever it is you want to say. That's what happened to me that day standing on that street corner in Santo Domingo all those years ago. I thought, he gets it. He understands. And when he said, oh, this Ken's never done that. That guy died a long time ago. The old Ken did that. He was referring to this truth right here. All things have passed away, and all things become new. Understand this. I must see myself as a new person in Christ. Nobody can do this for me. Let me say it again. I must see myself as a new person in Christ. Nobody can do this for me. Now listen, I don't have any power over how somebody else sees me. I have total power over how I see me. Did you get that? I have no power over how somebody else sees me. If they want to say, hey, you do, hey, look, get this. Okay, so I accepted Jesus as a senior in high school. Before that, I was, you know, partying and smoking dope and getting in trouble and maybe a time or two in jail, you know, stuff like that. Okay, got arrested a time or two. Got in trouble. All right. You see that? You didn't know that about me. Such a nice guy, right? All right. Okay. I'm like that guy Ken, but I wasn't, you know. And so here I am. I'm working as a cook, which is the good thing I knew how to cook. I got married to Esther. She didn't know how to cook anything. All right. And so I did all the cooking. Now you can tell if you saw me some years ago, she learned real fast how fat I was. Okay. But anyway, her sisters all made fun of her. Yeah, Esther was always out running around with her friends. She never learned anything. And her mom's a great cook. Her sisters are great cooks. But now Esther's a great cook. Thank you, honey. It's awesome. All right. Though I did cook last night. But that's okay. All right. But I was a cook. I did it for about 3 or 4 years. Cooked through my first year of Bible school. So anyway, so I'm a cook, right? And so I'm still in high school, maybe 1 year out of high school. I hadn't gone to school yet. And so I'm sitting here behind the line. I'm a cook across the kitchen. About from here to the wall over there is where the dishwasher was. And he was the guy I went to school with in high school. And so I'm trying to share my faith with this other cook because I'm on fire for God now. And I'm trying to share Jesus and what he's done. And this my friend from high school, all of a sudden, uninvited, starts chiming in. Oh, let me tell you about Ray. Ray used to do this. I was with Ray when he did this. I was there when he did. I just like that, messing up my witness, right? Who asked you for your opinion? When you want what I wanted, I'll give it to you, you know, like that. And so anyway, he's going like that. Well, Ray used to do this, Ray used to get stoned, Ray used to party, Ray used to, you know, all this. And so all of a sudden, I just blurted out. But now Ray's a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. I've been born again. He goes, that's cool, man. That's cool. Like, stop. And that was the last time that ever happened. But that just came out of me. What am I saying? No, it's up to me to see myself this way. And if we're ever, listen, if we're ever going to put the past behind us, we've got to change the way we see ourselves. And listen, it's not an issue of praying, God, take it away, God, take it away. He's already washed it away. It's an issue of us looking in a new direction. So instead of praying, God, take it away, which is a prayer that's unanswerable because God's already washed it away. Instead, pray, God, I look this way. God, I look away. I'm forgetting what lies behind. We're going to come to that verse in a minute. And I'm looking to what lies ahead. It's up to you and me. So I have no power over how you see me. So if you see me as the way I used to be all those years ago, go ahead and do what you want to. That's got no power over me. How I see me has total power over me. So I've got no power over how you see me. I have total power over how I see myself. And how I see myself has power over my life. We never rise above the way we see ourselves. So if you call yourselves, if you know, because of past mistakes and past failures, if you give yourself these labels, loser, underachiever, has been, never will be, something bad always happens to me, I can never get ahead, and on and on and on and on. You have a self-imposed lid on yourself. You're never going to rise above that right there. And all those statements are anti-Christ. Because they're anti-Bible. So you might say that, but God says you're an overcomer. You might say that, but God says you're completely forgiven. You might say that, but God says you're more than a conqueror through him who loved you. Love is greater than? Right? You might say that, but God says, you know, nothing you've ever done can separate. We just sang it. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So why not change the way you see yourself? Why not reset the GPS? Why not reset the autopilot? Are you listening to me now? And change the way you see yourself. So I must see myself as a new person in Christ. Nobody can do this for me. In the book of Galatians, chapter number 2, Paul says this. Now, if there was ever anybody who had to put things behind him, it was the Apostle Paul. You read about him in the book of Acts, chapter 8 and chapter 9. He persecutes the church, drags believers into jail, is standing there holding the people's garments as they stone Stephen to death. He's all for this. The Lord appears to him. He accepts Jesus. He becomes a Christian. And he had been so mean and so terrible that when he became a Christian, even the apostles themselves didn't believe it. 9th chapter of Acts. The Bible says he even tried to join Peter, James, John, all those guys, and none of them believed he was really an apostle. They thought he was a spy sent in because of how bad he had been. Hey, John, the apostle of love, he didn't believe it. The one who all this about love this and love God and God, so even he didn't believe it. It was Barnabas, the encourager, who said, hey, wait a minute, guys, I saw him preach. I heard what he said. I've seen his testimony. He's the real deal. And he stuck his neck out for Paul and vouched for him among Peter, James, and John and all the apostles. Isn't that wild? That's how bad Saul was. No wonder he said, I'm a new person in Christ. Old things have passed away. He says this in Galatians 2:20. And say this about yourself. Listen, we've all got things in the past we've got to put back there. He says this, Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. Yes. Some of us need to have a committal service for our old self. Amen? In fact, I heard about a football coach, I think it was last season or two, they were favored to win some game, and they just really laid an egg. It was a terrible game, and it was a terrible loss. And so he literally, the next week at practice, got a football from that game, brought a shovel, dug a hole, and buried it in the ground and said, guys, let's just put that loss behind us. Now, if a guy can do that over something as stupid as a football game, how much more where real life is concerned, where our lives are concerned? Football games come and go. There's always a next season. But our life, we have one. So some of us, maybe we ought to just go out in some field somewhere or someone who's got a big yard and get a bunch of shovels and we all just dig holes and bury stuff. All right? Because the fact is, it is already done. Now, here's the deal. We can go dig holes all we want, but if in our thinking and in our heart we don't do it, it'll do us no good. Paul says this, my old self has been crucified with Christ. He's dead. My friend Ken said, that guy who did that is dead and gone. This Ken has never done that. Paul says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me. Love is greater. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. I must see myself as a new person in Christ. Nobody can do this for me. Now, how do we do this? Philippians, the third chapter. We'll begin in the 13th verse. Philippians chapter 3, still in the New Living Translation. Now let's talk about how. We can say we need to, till we're all blue in the face. But if we don't know how to do it, it's not going to do us any good. Okay, Pastor, I get this. Yeah, I got junk. I mean, I got to forget about. Hey, not just from 20 years ago. Last week, hello. Right? We've all got stuff like that. Well, what did Paul do? Paul tells us exactly how he did it. Philippians 3, verse number 13. Then we're going to give you some things to write down. Paul here says this, no, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved. In other words, I'm not totally there yet. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and, ready to say and. If we don't do the and, it's not going to work. Okay? Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. If I don't look forward, I can never let go of the past. Let me say it again. I don't have a slide for that. Sorry. If I don't look forward, I can never let go of the past. Letting go of the past means I've got to change the direction in which I am looking. It's the only way. It's the only way. If I don't look forward, I'm looking backward. Okay? If I don't look forward, I'm looking back. I'm looking somewhere. But I can't look both forward and backward at the same time. It's physically impossible besides that to do that too. God made us that way on purpose. I cannot look forward and backward at the same time. And if I'm not looking forward, I'm looking backward. And the only way to quit looking backward is to start looking forward. Amen? Now listen, write this down. There's a slide for this. Where I'm going must be bigger than where I've been. Where I'm going must be bigger than where I've been. We're going to come back to Philippians in a second here. Where I'm going must be bigger. Where I'm going must consume me. If I'm consumed with where I've been, I'm not going to go anyplace. If I'm consumed with where I've been, I'm going to be depressed probably. Here's a thought that might interest you. Even if my past was victorious, God has new victories for me. And if I just camp out on last year's victories, that's going to get old after a while. The world's turning. Are you listening to me now? So, where I'm going must be bigger than where I've been. Let me say this also. I'm in trouble if my regrets outweigh my dreams. Yes, I am. My goals, where I'm going, what I'm aiming for. I'm in trouble if my regrets, and we all have them, if my regrets outweigh my dreams, I'm in trouble. I was reading a great book, and This guy interviewed this psychologist, and they asked him, you know, he's been 30-something years in practice, helped thousands of people. The therapist said, the saddest words I ever hear in therapy are the words, quote, if only. And it's always followed by, if only I hadn't done that. If only I hadn't trusted that person. If only I hadn't made that decision. If only they hadn't done that to me. If only this would have happened. If only, and you fill in the blank, right? If only. And he taught all of his clients that there is no power in the phrase, if only. It's looking backward. And he taught them all these words here that are so crucial. Instead of saying, if only, replace that with next time. Next time, I will make this decision. Next time, I will ask for help. Next time, I will, and fill in the blank. Because there's always going to be a next time if you trust God. We just sang it. He makes all things work together for good. Now, God doesn't cause all things, but if I trust Him, He'll turn all things for my good. So we have to, forgiveness is about release. We've talked about this over and over and over again. It's about letting go. And I find many people, you know who they need to let go? Themselves. They beat themselves up, if only. They berate themselves, if only. What were you thinking? How could I be so stupid? How could I be so blind? Why did I? Right? And they're holding on and holding on. It's amazing how people are quicker to release others, but not themselves. And you've got to live with you every single day. Right? So here's a thought. Why not forgive yourself? God already has. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 43, verse 25, I blot out your sins for my own sake, and I will never think of them again. God said that. If He never thinks of them, why should we? Why should I consume my thoughts with things that God has no recollection of? Why not release yourself? God, I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to do what you've already done for me. You've already released me. I release myself. So listen, don't relive the past, but learn from it. Learn the lesson. Just don't live there. Amen? Learn the lesson. Just don't live there. So this is so important. Amen? My past must never dictate my future. My past must never dictate my future. So let's go back where we were in Philippians and finish this thought here. 3:13. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus. This requires, you know, focus requires effort. To focus your eyes, the older you get, it requires a lot of effort, right? Okay. Focus. You got to focus on purpose. You can just kind of be scattered easy without even trying, but to be focused, that takes effort. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14, I press on. That means I'm moving now. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Three things we can do from this verse. Number one, forget the past. We get three words here. We get the word forget, forward, and finish. Number one, forget the past. Number two, keep looking forward. Paul says, forget the past. It's past. Forget it. Paul said, I forget what lies behind. Paul says, I forget the past and look forward to what lies ahead. Forget the past. Keep looking forward. Number three, finish your race. Three, hey, we get to use F words in church. How do you like that, huh? Forget, forward, finish. Forget, forward, finish. Forget the past. Keep looking forward and finish your race. We're all in a race. The great news about our race, we don't compete against each other. We're all on the same team. We're all running in the same direction. Just my race is unique compared to your race. But we're all to encourage each other to finish. So whether or not you finish, I mean, you know, you're not going to knock me out of mine. The great thing about success in God's kingdom is your success doesn't threaten mine. It's not like there's a limited amount. Oh, they have success. That means there's less for me. There's enough for everybody and then some. Amen? So forget the past. Keep looking forward and finish your race. Now, how do I really do this? How do I forget what lies behind me? Again, the same thoughts, kind of just thought in a little different way here. Number one, put the past in its proper place. Put the past in its proper place. Say that 10 times fast. Put the past in proper place. Put the past in its proper place. It's in the past. It's in the past. It's like old pictures in a photo album or something like that. My cousin came over the other day to look at my before our fridge broke. He came to look at it. And what did my cousin do? Him and I had gone to the fights years ago at the Forum. And we got some pictures of some celebrities that were there or something. And at that time, I was about 70 pounds heavier than I am right now. We had those pictures with him. Thanks, Albert. That's my cousin Albert, all right? We're born 8 days apart. And he brings these pictures. And I'm looking at that. You know what? You got to put the past behind you. All that is an old picture. It's not today. But man, I'm saying, wow, was that fat? My goodness gracious, man, thank God that's old, you know. But he had the proof. I should have paid him for those pictures. He didn't know I would have bought them off him, get them out of his hands. Well, all that is an old picture. It's not today. It's not present. It's old. How many people miss the present because they're lamenting the past? They lament the past, they stress about the future, and forget today. In fact, Jason and I were just talking about that before the service. They're lamenting the past, if only. They're stressing over the future. Oh my God, what if? And they miss that today's a gift. And they miss today. Amen? So what do? Put the past in its proper place. I say it like this: remember to forget. And somebody brings something up. I distinctly remember forgetting about that. Thank you very much. Remember to forget some things. God has no record of our past failures. We talked about this at the men's breakfast yesterday. In the Hall of Fame of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, this whole list of the great men of faith of the Old Testament. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, David. By faith, Samson. Hey, and every one of those guys royally, royally messed up. Noah, by faith, built the ark. And yeah, and then after 40 days of the storm, the water receded, the ark lands on dry land, and Noah goes out and gets blitzed. Drunk, all right? Plastered. Then he got immoral, and that's Noah. David, well, murder and adultery, that's not exactly leadership material, all right? Abraham, the father of our faith, lied out of fear. Fear compelled him not once but twice to lie that his wife Sarah, who was very pretty, was his sister, not really his wife, to save his own skin. By faith, Samson. Well, everybody knows about Samson. He liked girls too much, right? And so, but here's the thing about Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11 only, see, it sees them the way today heaven sees them. Hebrews 11 only records their faith, not their failures. And heaven has no record of yours and mine either. All things passed away. So put the past in the past. Number two, look forward in faith. Look forward in faith. The direction in which I continually look is the direction I will eventually go. All right? Look forward in faith. The direction that I continually look is the direction I will eventually go. And so it's easy to kind of drift your gaze backward, especially if you're not sure yet on where you're going. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. It's a faith walk. And so it's easy to kind of drift, you know. So you have to focus and do this intentionally. So put the past in its proper place. Look forward in faith. And then number three, listen, this is crucial. You got to move. Walk forward by faith. It can't be like, ready, aim, 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 aim. Are you all right? You got to fire. It's not like a track meet. On your mark, get set, get set, get set, get set. The time comes, you got to run. And so you can say, oh, yeah, praise God, the past is in my past. Okay, I'm looking forward. But if you don't move forward, you're still stuck. You got to move forward. You got to walk forward by faith. It's not enough just to look forward. I must move forward. Running a marathon begins with the first step. Climbing a mountain begins with the first step. Going from here to there begins with the first step. So release that stuff from behind. Put it behind you. Don't let it dictate your future. Amen. Don't let it determine your identity. Why should I forget past mistakes? Hello, I think these are pretty obvious. God tells us to do this because God's already done this for us. So I don't pray, God, take away my past. He's already washed it away. I pray, God, I look away. I'm looking forward to the great things you have for me. God doesn't remember my past. I'll never again remember your past mistakes and failures and all that. And I can't go forward if I'm looking backward. I can't go forward if I'm looking backward. Right? I want to let those things go.
Thank you so much for listening in to hear the Word of God today. At Family Life Church, our purpose is to help you grow into full maturity in Christ. You can join us on Sundays at the Covina Center for the Performing Arts at 9:30 and 11 o'clock a.m. And now, you will be led in a simple prayer.
And if this is an area where you need some help, freedom is here for you right now. Lord, thank you. And Lord, I mean, every one of us deals with this. There may be some here right now that have not yet dealt with this. We all deal with it, but maybe some haven't actually done this yet. And so we thank you. So Lord, thank you right now. We believe that the moment we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, at that moment, a new life began and the old life was gone. All things passed away. All things become new. A new life has begun. So right now in Jesus' name, we let that go. If we need to release ourselves, nobody ever berated themselves into growth and victory, into a better version of themselves. And if we've been doing that, beating ourselves up, that ends today. That stops right now. So we release ourselves, literally, Lord, of that. We forgive ourselves and just say, that's that. That happened then, this is now. Next time, I will do this. Next time, I'll believe this. Next time, I'll know this. Next time, I'll ask for help. And next time, I'll trust this person. And next time, whatever it is. And so we thank you. And now, Lord, we move forward by faith. Show us what you have for us. Give us your plan, your vision, your dreams. Your word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It lights the way as we move forward, Heavenly Father. I can love again. I can trust again. I can go back to school. I can get a better job. I can, whatever it is. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be free of that. I can. And that can moves from I can, as we believe it, to I am. I am. And so, Lord, we thank you so very much in the name of Jesus. Now we worship you. Now whatever that is, you just deal with that right now in your own heart. Thank you, Father. All things have passed away. All things are become new. Not just from our past life, but yesterday, last week, washed away by the blood of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We worship you. Now, we're praying right now, and just this attitude of prayer. Friends, all of this begins with a personal relationship with God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've never yet asked Him to come into your heart, or if you're not sure if you have, we're going to pray right now in just a second. I don't mean to say, you know, hey, I'm a Christian, right? I mean, I'm no atheist. I'm not some other religious. I must be a Christian. God wants us to have a personal relationship with Him by receiving His Son into our heart as Lord and Savior. If you've never prayed, we do it by prayer and calling upon Him. If you've never done that, it'd be my honor to pray with you right now. If you'd say, Pastor Ray, please pray for me. I want to call upon the Lord Jesus to come into my life. I'm going to ask you to do one thing in just a second right now. And that's just to raise your hand up high where I can see it. And then we're going to pray in just a second here. If you're already a believer, but right now, you know, your life's just not right with God. Your heart's kind of away from God. And you want to get things right with Him today. I'm going to invite you to raise your hand in a second here. And we're going to pray. I'll lead us in a prayer right where you sit. And God hears, and God answers, and God does what only He can do. He forgives, He restores, He heals. He does all of it because He is so good. Are you ready? This morning, if you want to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ Himself to come into your heart, come into your life for the very first time, or you want to just get things right with God and call upon Him in a brand new way, right where you sit, could I please see your hand now if that's you? Put it up high where I can see it. We're going to pray right now. Thanks. Thank you. There's one. There's two. Thank you. Anybody? We're going to pray right now. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now we're going to pray like this. We're going to all, let's all lift one hand to heaven. Let's all pray together. And you raise your hands. Let your hearts agree with these wonderful words today. And let's all pray together like this. Lord Jesus, with all of my heart, I believe in You. You are the Son of God who died for me and rose again from the dead. Today I give You my heart. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for forgiving me. Now say this, Lord, today I make the decision to forget what lies behind me and to look forward to what lies before me. I'm moving forward. You have a plan for my life. Show me Your plan. Show me Your steps. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's celebrate God's goodness today. Amen. Now, Father, thank You, thank You, thank You for these. Thank You. We're going to live this and live this and live this and live this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for coming today. I pray this is helping us and this is right where we live. Invite somebody else.